And I tell a lot of my clients, remodeling a kitchen, a bathroom, fill in the blank, is a series of problems that have to be solved.
Welcome, construction industry professionals. You're listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to grow your business. Here are your hosts, Devin and Kevin.
2015, we're back, Kev. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Devin.
This is the year the podcast really is going to come to life. What's your New Year's resolution?
New Year's resolution is to not only sell more business in 2015, but do it in less time. That's my New Year's resolution.
Well, my New Year's resolution is to have less meetings, to start 5 minutes early and end 5 minutes early.
I like that.
So it sounds to me like time.
That's important. It's all we have collectively, right?
It's kind of like this podcast. Everybody we talk to, it's always about, you know, if I did this, should have done that, if I had more time. You know, I guess it's kind of when we talk about what's important to us this year, I'm pretty sure that's a timeless message there as well, right?
It is. It definitely is.
It's been a short time we've done this podcast, but we really have gotten to know each other well. And Mountain View, you're dialed in, ready for a big year. So I'm really excited for this year at the podcast and going forward.
No, definitely. And I think it's really been fun to be able to talk to so many industry partners and learn things that you start going down the road of a conversation that you think you know, and you still learn more things. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's kind of like this one where we dive in with Corey Williams, the sales manager of Breckus Tile and Stone, who happens to be across the street from us here in Denver, Colorado at Mountain View Window and Door, where we do all the recording.
No, absolutely. And I'm excited to hear how they operate, because I've worked with a lot of different stone companies and artisans within that category. And, you know, I've learned a couple of things here and there, but I will be willing to bet you that we'll learn some things that we didn't know when we talked to Corey. So I'm excited to see what he has to say.
Yeah, let's dive in and have a chat with Corey Williams with Breckus Tile and Stone here in Denver, Colorado. Corey, what's your favorite beverage?
My favorite beverage? That's an interesting question. I'm sipping on a caramel brulee latte at the moment, and it's got to be up there with one of the favorites. So.
Yeah. I see it a lot of networking events. So in a wine, or is it a cocktail we grab for you?
Typically, if there's a cocktail, you know, a bourbon is a good place to start. But
cool. What's your favorite place you've traveled?
Favorite place I've traveled? Cabo San Lucas.
Nice.
Yeah. Beautiful beaches.
Favorite hobby?
I like to build things.
Nice.
So, yeah, whatever I can get my hands into, work with my hands, do something outside of the office is always a... Absolutely. So if I can get away from the backside of that computer and start working with my hands, that's what I prefer to do.
Yeah. It's funny how us in the building industry, we get into it because we love being out building stuff, and then we get stuck behind those computers all day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your company, Breckus Tile and Stone, what you do for them, and a little bit of background about Breckus.
I'm the business development manager for Breckus, so I work directly under Jeff and Kim Breckus, the owner and COO. I wear a lot of hats for the organization, so primarily sales and marketing. I do a lot of all of the in-home consultations, direct with our clients, project management as needed for larger projects, more complex projects. I work in the showroom a couple Saturdays a month to help the residential team secure their goals. And so whatever's needed on any given day, I like to contribute any way that I can.
To our contractors and architects listening, it's like there's so many different products out there when we're going into. So I see Breckus as one of the leaders here in Colorado for tile and stone. The words tile and stone can be bought at a lot of places, for the 89 cents a square foot at Home Depot to the craziest exotic. What are the three top tips that come to mind if you're going to buy tile and stone? Why you should buy from a place like Breckus that's an industry professional?
Well, really, on most projects, there's quite a large scope of work. And as we know in this industry, you really need to coordinate every single decision that's made in a remodeling project with someone that's familiar with the process, the products, the installation procedures, etc. when you come to Breckus Tile and Stone, it's not just buying a piece of tile. It's really an education about tile and stone, which is a very broad phrase, right? So we want to talk about the different products that we have to offer, the advantages and disadvantages of each of those products, the installation procedures that are required for those types of things. We have designers on staff that went to school to design these types of projects and coordinate everything so that it's not just a hodgepodge, if you will, of selections that you made because you liked this tile and that floor and those types of things, but rather it coordinates at the end of the process and completion. So it's really that focus on the end result that a lot of the times our clients can't envision. And so we try to help paint that picture for them so that when we get to the end of the line and we finish that project, that it's something that everybody can embrace and be proud of.
I'm really glad that first thing that came to mind when I say give the tips, it's about educating people to get the right product. And, you know, and I kind of use that lead-in as the 99-cent tile at Home Depot of prices. That's not the place for Breckus, and it's not the place for Mountain View and New Indoor. And that's for people that are listening to this all over the world. We're both little businesses here in Denver, Colorado, that Breckus is across the street from us here in Mountain View. And we have this big Weiland display that you come in and you see just a sill and nothing below it, and this fancy tile on there. And when someone starts saying they don't know the process, I just stop them right there and say, you need to go across the street and talk to Corey Abrekis or someone at the team. Because when I did the tour there, it was a full education center about what the right underlayment, the right, you know, transition pieces and all those things that work together, just like our big fancy Weiland door that you don't see anything behind the scenes. But there's a lot going on behind the scenes, and it's an education here in Mountain View, putting the right door with the right people at Abrekis for having a successful project. And if I'm a general contractor, I just surround myself with all these people and say, Corey, go over to Devin and get this door right and work together and just get good people around you. And that's why I wanted to have you on the show, because we're both doing the same things, putting that stuff together.
Absolutely, and I appreciate that. And I think that that is one of the big misconceptions that clients have, is that they think that they can do this a lot of the times on their own, when in fact there are many challenges to doing that. And a lot of fly-by-night guys that come in, they get the job done. It looks great for a year, and then it starts crumbling if, to your point, Devin, you don't have the proper things that nobody can see done effectively, efficiently, and to the standards of the manufacturer of the product that you're putting in. So we take great pride in that. We're going to be around here for a long time, and so we want our clients to be able to live a lifetime with the projects that we work on.
You know, Corey, you mentioned working on and providing solutions for complex situations. Maybe you could elaborate a little bit on that, because I know you get involved in radiant heating solutions and flooring and all kinds of things. And, you know, one of the things we bump into frequently is somebody's building a very expensive, complicated home, and it's not just a matter of specking materials. You'd have to, like you say, make sure it's going to last for the long run and that everything's taken into account. So maybe you can elaborate a little bit on some of those complex situations that you come into and the solutions that, you know, that you provide for your clients.
Absolutely. So what we have is some guidelines that we use. The National Tile Council Association defines the way that different products and materials should be installed. We also follow, of course, the manufacturer specification for each product individually. But what we have is a tremendous amount of experience at Breckus, led by Jeff Breckus, our owner, who oftentimes is on the cutting edge of, for example, the National Tile Council of Association will look over a spec for a certain application, and he'll say, you know what, that was written 6 months ago and they didn't know about this product, and this product, and how that interacts and affects the installation. So we're even ahead of the game when it comes to those types of procedures. And the reason is the experience that we have, the partnerships. Devin, to your point, you made this point earlier, you really need to partner with somebody that has the experience behind them. So what we've done is we've partnered with the industry leaders and the products that we have, and we allow them to give us a series of specifications that when installed in that order to that specification, that they will warranty that product, that installation, etc. Again, looking for what is best for our clients and how can we ensure that if there was a failure, that they would be covered in this case. And of course, as an in company, we would be covered as well. So really forming those partnerships has helped us to grow and be able to take those certain specs. And sometimes we have to go back to the architect. Sometimes we have to go back deeper to the original plans. But typically, those are site adjustments that we can make moving forward.
How often do you run into situations where there hasn't been adequate focus on structural engineering from the standpoint of weight? As an example, perhaps on a deck where, you know, the architect drew out, let's put tile on this outdoor deck, find out from the contractor that they want it mud set in a deep format and they want some pretty thick stone, and then you come to find out perhaps that it's not engineered properly. Does that happen very often? Or
it's a rarity that we see those types of things. Sometimes the lines of communication can get lost between the architect and the builder, and that's typically where we see the breakdown. To your point, one guy has one thing in mind, the other guy has something else in mind, and so we have to find a way to bridge that gap. And sometimes it takes more engineering, more structural supports. Typically, when you're working with a licensed architect, a licensed general contractor, those bases are covered pretty well. So,
all right, Corey, I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit as our tile and stone expert. I'm going to throw out a few things that a lot of people converse about or tile and stone really come up. And I want you to give me the newest, hottest product and brand and what kind of the quick synopsis of what is the right way for an underlayment or what should be done for our general contractor as he hires the sub to come in and make sure spot checking these things. So the first thing is a custom poured shower pan.
Custom poured shower pans, this is a lost art in this day and age. It is very difficult to pour a pan properly and waterproof it properly and all the things that go into that. There's a couple options. We use the Schluter brand systems. That covers a lot of different things. Schluter is a company that makes trim pieces, that makes transition pieces, that makes underlayment. The Schluter Ditra mat that is an uncoupling membrane, etc. And we'll talk about those in more detail as we move forward here. But as in terms of the shower pins, there's really, in Breckus's mind, two ways to do this. And that is to pour a custom pan. And what we use is what is called a Schluter Curdy membrane. It's a very thin cloth-like membrane. In the past, people have used things like a rubber, eighth-inch rubber underlayment with thyme and water that can rot and fail. Not the case with this Schluter Curdy membrane. So you pour your initial pan with what's called a dry pack product. It takes a lot less water. It's a cementitious product, but it's loose when you mix it, and it allows you to conform to the drop that you need for gravity. We put that in first. And then once that dries, we put the Curdy membrane and slope it to a Schluter drain that has a special connection that allows that Curdy to bond to the drain. And they have a special caulking that is called Curdy Fix that is made specifically to seal that. So what you have here, again, this is just the pre-phases of that process.
It's what you see, don't see behind the scenes. That's the most important part.
Absolutely, because if you don't get this right, you are going to have failure guaranteed. So there's just no question about that. And then from there, you put the thin set and the tile over that. So anything, a lot of people say, oh, you really need to seal your grout on the floor. Well, it really doesn't matter, because even sealed grout is going to allow water through it. And it has to hit that waterproof membrane that's tied to the drain system. Otherwise, the water will just sit there. The second option is also a Schluter option. And they actually manufacture a foam core shower pan that basically eliminates the first two steps that I explained earlier.
Okay.
And that is the prepping and the pouring of the dry pack. So essentially what you have is a foam board. As long as it's in the standard shower sizes, which most are, that you put down initially, and then you put the Curti membrane, tie it into the Curti drain just the same, set the tile on top of that. We still do it the old-fashioned way because we have craftsmen that are able to use that dry pack successfully. And so we do it that way. It typically saves our clients a little bit of money from bring in the pan that's already sloped. It saves them some money because we do that by hand, and it saves a little bit of money on the materials.
And you say you have in-house guys that Breckus can supply the material and install it, or you guys are a distributor to just sell it to the right trades. It doesn't sound like this is something that's a do-it-yourself kit that you've never done before. You want to have someone that is an industry professional to do this kind of stuff.
Absolutely. They have some, quote, do-it-yourself kits. As a professional that is certified to install those products, we recommend using someone that's certified in that arena.
And is there a schooling, or like the guys that do this, does Schluter, that's how you say it, right?
That's correct.
So does Schluter have Schluter University, and you guys put on a course on how to do that? If there's a contractor listening to this and he's like, I got my tile guy that's been doing this tile forever, and he's been doing it this way, I want to have him go into Breckus and get educated to be aware of this system, because we fall in the same thing. We're always training people to say, hey, there's this other option out here. And just because you've always done it this way, you might want to look at some other practices.
Absolutely. We don't have a Breckus Schluter University per se. But again, this goes back to those partnerships and building those relationships with the manufacturers, bridging that gap between, you have all these products, they look really good in our showroom, how do we apply them? How do we utilize these products to be most advantageous to, as you mentioned earlier, our in-house guys that install these, but most importantly, our clients and their everyday application of this product.
You know, Corey, you touched on something that I want to highlight a little bit, and that is that you mentioned if you don't do it this way, you're going to have problems. And again, we've talked before, I was a builder at one time, and I can personally attest to the fact that if you don't install a custom shower properly, you will have problems, and you will pay a significant amount of extra dollars fixing that problem, not only in terms of the dollars, but the pain and suffering as a contractor. So just wanted to highlight that all of our contractors out there listening and builders, that's a fact. It really is. So, you know, you have to take into account not only the cost now, but the cost now plus later. And I would imagine that even going through this process, which might be a little more expensive than they're thinking about, it's going to save a lot of money in the long run, a lot of heartache.
Absolutely. And we try, you know, we're not here to scare anybody or to say that if you use this contractor that you're going to have an issue. What we try to do is apply logic to every client that comes in. This isn't rocket science, okay? And all the clients that come through the door, if you take the time to explain to them the process involved in a shower pan, they're going to understand. It is quite simple, in fact. That education really is our best sales tool for our clients, is for them to say, you know what, you're the first person that has mentioned that to me. I'm actually going to go back and talk to my contractor, and if he's not using these types of products, you know, I think we're gonna come back and talk to you, and we may just do that anyway. You know, the idea is to educate the consumer, let them know exactly how it's going to happen, and then 9 times out of 10, they're going to say, you know what, that made sense. We want to move forward with this project.
Well, and for all of our architects and contractors, builders, it's one of those things you build up a relationship with a customer. The last thing you want is a failure of a system where it causes grief and frustration on the part of the customer, because even once you fix that problem, you may not have that customer back.
That's absolutely true. And you hit the nail on the head. When the client's kitchen ceiling starts leaking because their wife is upstairs taking a shower, we've got big problems. To your point, we have to have integrity, be able to foresee the future as much as possible, and make sure that we get it done right the first time.
No, it makes sense.
So how about all these modern designs we're seeing out there with the stone on the outside of the house? Same kind of thing. I see a lot of builders that are used to throwing siding or just hiring their stucco contractor, and then now the homeowner goes on house and sees this awesome stone. That's what I want on the side of the house. How do you come in and give us the quick synopsis on that?
Well, there's a lot of different approaches to this. I'm involved in one right now, quite a large one, in fact. And we have an architect that was originally involved, but let's just say let go of the project. And so what we have are some clients that decided that they wanted to put stone in this particular area. Again, this was a quick phone call, along with some specifications and details of the job, to one of our industry partners. And they were able to show us layer by layer, piece by piece, exactly what was needed for this application and exactly the parameters. Like if it exceeds 15 pounds per square foot, you can no longer use this system and we will no longer warranty it. If the application is over 25 feet above grade, this is no longer applicable. So we have these parameters in which we're working. Typically, Kevin, we talked about this, the architect's specking those things. In this case, we lost the architect. So they leaned on us and we leaned on our partners. And we were able to come up with a great solution for the clients. They ended up choosing an inch and a half thick limestone. It's going to be a gorgeous application. But we were able, again, to use those partnerships and those relationships to come up with a great solution for the builder and the homeowner.
You know, that's awesome. And you talked about, again, the complex projects. You've done some outstanding kinds of projects that are pretty historic. You just did the Union Station renovation. You did the Carr Justice Center in town. Talk a little bit about not only how you secure those type of jobs and see them through successfully, but how that benefits you with respect to the residential side of the business as well.
Absolutely, because what you're talking about are some commercial jobs, and we have built a reputation, and I use the term we lightly. Jeff and Kim Breckus and our teams have built that reputation through blood, sweat, and tears. So they have established, again, these relationships with the different general contractors, architects, etc., that work on these large projects. There are certain jobs where they say, you know what, we know Jeff Breckus is the guy for this project because that's the reputation that he's built. In the case of the Union Station, we did all of the historic marble restoration.
So with this is global. What's Union Station here in Denver? Everyone in Denver knows, but...
Yeah, the Union Station was a train station in Denver.
It's the hub where what they call the light rail, and it's this historic, the heart of downtown that's this just beautiful remodel that they made it this truly the hub, and now the new trains and everything's coming through there and all these really hip restaurants, and you guys did all the stonework in this big open kind of Coliseum space.
And
right?
The original building was built in the 1880s sometime.
Yeah, the late 1800s, that's correct, in the late 1880s there. And they brought all of the marble up from the Ewell mine down in Marble, Colorado. And so what was happening in this particular case, Devin, to your point, they've transformed it from hearing a penny drop on most days of the week to a booming hub with bars and shuffleboard and sandwich places and Wi-Fi at every spot.
And so it's the hip. When my wife and I went down there the first time, she's just like, we got to go check out Union Station. I'd heard people kind of talk about it, but I didn't get it. But I was just like, this is incredible. It's just such a cool, makes Denver real hip with places like that, right?
Absolutely. And so, you know, Denver's been making some strides in the right direction, but this is really a work of art, truly a masterpiece for all those people that were involved. And it has securely moved Denver into the 21st century with the light rail, et cetera. There was a tremendous amount of work that was put into removing that marble, refinishing that marble, repairing the marble. In a lot of cases, you know, the new bar and the new sandwich shop needed new doorways. And so we had to source, manufacture, custom build those types of units. And so we knew that if we were going to restore this to its original beauty, that we would need to use all of those old world techniques that they used in the late 1800s. We refurbished all the fasteners and everything and reused everything. So they're perfectly great for today's standards. It was just time to bring them down and get them ready for the next 100 years that the city and the Union Station could grow with the times.
Oh, that's great. You know, one of the things that we always ask is, give us the biggest success that you had last year as a company. What were the, you know, in terms of a project or something that you implemented, what was the biggest success or the biggest win that Breckus had last year?
Well, I think we had several successes, but if I want to look specifically at one, it would be something that's near and dear to my heart, and that's the residential sales. As a company, we broke $1 million this year for the first time on the residential side. So that was a big milestone for us, a big goal internally that we had as a team that we all work towards was a big milestone for us, and I think one of the big...
What about one, so one residential house, what's something that jumps to mind that stuck out, a project, a countertop, a floor that you could tell us about that you guys did?
If I were going to choose one, it would probably be a pretty complex project that we just wrapped up that was a kitchen, a master bathroom, a spare bathroom, and an entire main floor with three separate heating element sections in that floor. So being able to take a job that was that complex, that many moving parts, and be able to execute, leave our client with just a transform home was one of my most fond memories, to be able to see the look on the client's face, you know, with that new space that they're living in. So,
well, that's great. On the flip side, what would you say was the biggest challenge, whether it be a project or a circumstance that you ran into in the last 12 months?
Well, I would have to say that as an organization, you know, one of the biggest challenges, honestly, was this Union Station project. It ended up with flying colors, but not knowing what was behind those walls in terms of those fasteners, not knowing what any individual slab of marble was going to do when we got it down, there were a lot of unknowns there. And so being able to execute at a very high level and deliver at the end of that project, I think, was really just a great success for our organization.
Yeah, a lot of times the hardest ones are the biggest challenges are the best ones at the end of the day. It's kind of like you know, we're working with a charity that we'll talk with down the road that I think in the end it's going to be fantastic. But when you dive into certain ones, you just have to do it. Getting through it is and you learn a lot. And you learn by doing. And you, like to your point, you said you don't know until you pull this down. Is it going to crumble or is it just going to go down and put it back up?
Absolutely.
That's two different scenarios.
Mm-hmm. Learning is the key. And that's really what moves companies forward, is learning from the goods, the bads, and the uglies, and moving forward productively. Yeah. So,
give us a story of what Breckus learned from an ugly one this year.
On the residential side, we talked about this project that we had that was a lot of success at the end due to all the moving parts and the kitchens and the baths and the floors. That one was a challenge as well. So we learned that we don't always have to go it alone. When we say, you know what, using those industry partners like we talk about, I could have utilized them more in this case. And in this case, it was a coordination effort. just coordinating. We had the right people, but it was really a coordination effort. So I think we could have shaved some time off of that project had we partnered with one of our industry partners or a couple to execute. So making sure that you have all of your bases covered before you start, I think, is really important. And that's one thing we learned on that project. Yeah. So
that's what this show is all about, is driving the culture for, you know, we talk locally because that's the stories and examples we use. But globally, it's like you need to find your breakfast if you're in Atlanta, Georgia, or New Orleans or wherever. You got to find that tile and stone expert. And then find that window and door expert, stone surrounds or stone floor going up to a door. You got to get all these heights and sill pans and all this stuff at the right level. The people that truly care, they want to be in it from the beginning to the end, and they want to see it through. The people that are not price driven. And that's what the culture of this podcast is all about, is to get awareness of all the tools in your toolbox that we always talk about that not necessarily aren't just, you know, trowels and that kind of stuff.
Well, one of the big things, too, for our builders and architects is making sure that when the job's done, the job's really done, that you're not dealing with a job 6 months from now, like we described, where the, you know, the water's coming from the master bath into the kitchen, which is not on the plans and never in the plans. So, you know, that's something that we find that it's really helpful and really important to talk about.
Absolutely. And Devin, to your point, being money driven isn't bad. Okay. Being conscious of your budget is a great thing. However, it is really a race to find the person that can give you the most information that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's really the key, is to find a partner, someone that you feel like you can trust to take on the challenges, because we don't know what's behind the walls. Mm-hmm. And we are going to have surprises. And I tell a lot of my clients, remodeling a kitchen, a bathroom, fill in the blank, is a series of problems that have to be solved. And we're going to be able to figure out up front, anticipate some of those things, but we're going to find some things along the way too that makes your head spin. What were they thinking when they put this in?
Yeah. So why did they cut those floor joists? Just cut them out and remodel 20 years ago, and now they want us to put a tile floor over that. You know, that's
and the support's no longer there. Yeah.
It can boggle your mind. So it's really finding someone you can trust that has a proven reputation and is willing to invest the time that's necessary to make you feel comfortable about your project.
So we got to ask about countertops. What are a few mistakes that you see out there, or successes, and some materials that you hear from? What is granite versus quartz versus all these other components out there? And give us a quick lesson on countertops.
That's a great question. So really, there's, in my mind, three countertop surfaces. You have your hard surfaces, which are your granites and your quartz. So in my mind, there's three types of countertops. You have your laminate surfaces, which are simply layers of paper glued together. And they've come a long way in those regards. Solid surface countertops like Corian that are an engineered surface that are non-porous, again, have some great ups and downs. But the third category is what I would consider hard surfaces, and that's kind of loosely based around stone. And within that subset, you really have your man-made materials and your natural materials. And we can break those down a lot of different ways as well. To keep it short, the man-made materials are products like engineered quartz surfaces, such as Silestone, Cambria, Caesar stone. And those are about 80% rock and 20% resins, pigments, and binders, depending on the product and manufacturer specifically. Basically, they crush rock and they pour it. They shake it and bake it at the same time, and it eliminates any pores in that material. Pores are what allow stains to penetrate. Manufacturing a non-porous material, you never have to seal or maintain this product in any way, shape, or form. Now we've come a long way with technology, and we can now make granite and marble just as stain resistant. However, there's some other things I'll touch on that don't make those surfaces as practical. So back to the quartz surfaces, you've got a material here that is non-porous, so you don't have to seal it or maintain it. You don't have to worry about the bacteria growing and harboring in that material. And because it's comprised of so much quartz, which is almost as hard as diamonds on the scale. It is scratch, stain, scorch resistant. So really a great product. In this market, it's not as popular because it's not natural. And so while they've come a long way at making this material look natural, they still haven't hit the nail on the head yet. So we still have in this mountain community, for lack of a better term, we still have a lot of natural stone, granite, and marble that's put in. Quartz surfaces are a great product if you're looking for something that looks more consistent. And or you've got kids running around, you throw host a lot of parties, things like that where you absolutely don't want to deal with any stains or scratching, and you get a product that looks brand new day in and day out. With the natural materials, most people are going to recognize marble and granite. Very simple. And they're two very different products when you put them into a home. Marble, when polished, will etch with any sign of water. So it'll look like there's a permanent water spot on your marble. So that's why we recommend honing marble, which is simply a finish to take that shine away. And it allows that etching to be less visible and less noticeable. People that love marble in their kitchen love the patina and the character that you gain with living with marble, because the majority of stains can be removed and extracted, but they like to see those scratches and the scuffs and the character in that material. It's not for everybody, but it is a beautiful material and somewhat practical. Again, I touched on this earlier because of technological advances. We use a proprietary sealer. It is a penetrating sealer. That's different than a topical sealer. A lot of people say, oh yeah, my fabricator is going to seal the granite. Most likely they're using an inexpensive topical sealer that clogs the pores in the stone. And that works great until you clean it, which cuts that sealer away, leaving those pores exposed. What we use is a penetrating sealer. Penetrates up to a quarter of an inch, whether it's marble or granite. And we've been certified by the manufacturer to apply this. And because of that, our clients are afforded a 15-year warranty against staining on those products. It doesn't cover the etching we talked about with the marble earlier, but it does cover any foodborne stains such as wine or beets or anything of that nature. I don't know why anyone would have beets in their kitchen, but
we get the point.
Have mercy. So, as you can tell, there's a lot of practicality in all of these surfaces. Really, what it comes down to is, from an aesthetic perspective, what do you want to wake up to every morning? Is it that soft touch that you can only get with marble? Is it those hard elements in granite, from black to white to gray, transparent quartz in there? I call them conversation pieces, where you can just sit down and for hours point to this and point to that and look at the mica and look at the feldspar here. And that looks like any type of different mineral that may be in there. You have fossils in some of the limestone. So there's a lot of character that you get with natural stones that you don't get in the engineered surfaces. So people that are looking should really consider the application. Do you have kids running around? Do you host a lot of parties? Those types of things, and really determine based on a lot of factors. But at the end of the day, you got to find something you love, and then we can make it practical, most likely, for a kitchen or bathroom application.
That was the best explanation of countertops I've ever heard. That's really good, man. What countertop would you put in your house?
You know, I'm working with some quartz right now. I'm going to use a Silestone product. Has the look of marble, very soft look, but I'm a practicality first kind of guy. And I don't like the patina that you get from natural marble. I like a product that looks brand new day in and day out, and that's why I chose a quartz surface for my kitchen.
Learned a couple things there, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. What do you listen to while you're driving around from job to job?
What do I listen to from job to job? either the comedy station or the local Christian radio. You know, try to find my inspiration on a daily basis. So cool. Depends on if I'm looking for a laugh or, you know, an inspired way to go about my day. So.
Or maybe the art of construction now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to get it dialed in here. So.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, Corey. I mean, I really appreciate all the insight on the countertops, and it's really great to have an industry partner and someone who really knows, and that's what it's all about, right? So we're telling our contractors and architects, if you need windows and doors, Mountain View Window and Door, but if you need tile and stone or a new countertop and the right way to marry up to it, come on in and meet with us before or after. They're just across the street, and we're your experts for all those fields.
Well said, my friend.
Well, Devin, I'll tell you, you know, we as we talked early in the introduction, we'll probably learn a few new things, and darn it if we didn't. I mean, it was pretty exciting and pretty interesting to hear from Corey how they operate their business and really the level of detail that they go to solve problems for their customers, contractors, architects, homeowners, and designers. And, you know, it just is constantly amazing that, you know, when you think you know a lot about something, that you can learn that much in a short conversation. But, boy, Corey really knows the business, knows how to take care of people. And, you know, just based on the level of projects that they're doing, you know, they're doing the remodel at Elway's downtown. They just finished the Union Station remodel this year, which is a historic renovation. Just pretty amazing the quality and the level of work that they go to.
Yeah, and how right off the cuff he knew all the right way to do stuff. And that's really important, you know. It's like he talked about that Schluter system on a shower pan. You know, and I went over there and he gave me the tour, and it was all the details about they have all the stuff there, they stock it, they're the distributor, but really taking the time and laying it all out right, just like we do here at Mountain View, and it's, you can tell they're passionate about that. You got to love what you do. You got to want to talk to people about using the right window foam to the nail fin, because that, at the end of the day, is just as important as getting the right bells and whistles, the right travertine, or the right window. You know?
Well, absolutely, and we kind of joked a little bit about, had a little laugh over the overflow of the master bath into the kitchen, which isn't funny if it happens to you, but you certainly want to take a look at those kinds of things. That's when you want to learn about those things, is before. Not after.
Oh, God.
Because when you find out after, not only is it going to be very painful from the standpoint of, you know, rearranging your life and your customers' lives, but it's going to be costly for a lot of people. It's not a picnic.
I loved how he talked about the different countertops, and it's like y'all just think you hear the word granite is used so all over the place, and he did such a great job of talking the differences between quartz and granite and hard surfaces and sealing it all up. And it's that countertop really, it, you know, he talked about the conversation. It's one of the most talked about pieces of art in a house.
Absolutely.
And that piece of countertop is such an important deal that they're experts of listening and learning what is right for you, getting the right stuff for, he talked about if you have a family or this and that, or staining and all that kind of stuff. And they're definitely the place that knows that kind of stuff.
Well, and just the subject of sealing, you know, there's not just a single way to seal. And the reality is you want to make sure that you're getting what you're expecting. Again, knowing that up front, not after the fact, because the process they go through where it seals about a quarter of an inch deep is not as inexpensive as the alternatives, and yet it's going to be important to you to make sure that you get something that's going to provide the results that you're looking for.
Yeah, and there's a lot of similarities to us as running a window and door company, is that you're selling these pretty bells and whistles, but behind the scenes is really what happens, and it's about that shower pan and the right weight ratios for the deck and putting something on the wall. They really know all that stuff and have the right products, just like here at Mountain View, so it's all about surrounding yourselves around people that... I really liked how he talked about how, you know, price is important, you know, and not price, 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 and he talked about how we truly care about your price, and we want to know that and then work backwards from there, find the right products within the budget. But you don't want to go spend all this fancy dollars, all this money for these fancy bells and whistles, and not budget to take care of it.
Well, because what I got out of what he said was that the focus on budget is critical and very important to customers, and he understands that. But the reality is, look at the entire package that you're getting. Make sure you understand not only what you're paying, but what you're getting for it in return, and what all those little processes are to make sure that you're getting a complete installation.
Yeah. And it's such a balance. It's like us with selling our fancy Fleetwood or Weiland door systems installed. It's like the asterisk or the disclaimer keeps getting longer and longer and longer. But the reality is you've got to take the time to understand all that stuff. And if you lay it all out up front and understand it all, then you don't have to deal with all those asterisks after the fact, and that's what they do over at Breckus.
No, I think that's pretty impressive, and it was very, very educational for us, too.
All right, another great industry partner in the books, knocking out 2015. If you know anyone else that wants to be on the best podcast show specifically designed for contractors and architects, reach out to Kevin and I, and we'll get you into the studio MBWD and knock it out of the park, huh?
Looking for a great 2015.
You have been listening to The Art of Construction. To listen to more, please go to www.mtnview.us and click on the podcast tab. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, and thanks for listening.